McKenzie. Councillor Vargas Alba?
Yep.
Councillor Beasley?
Here.
Councillor Chen?
Here.
Councillor Dixon? Councillor Dixon? Councillor Draper?
All of us.
Councillor Isaac? Councillor Ismail? Councillor Marinakis?
Here.
Councillor Kidd?
Here.
Councillor C? Councillor Ottawan? Councillor Bowes?
Here.
Councillor Sunday? Councillor Nugent? And Councillor Hadouche?
Yep.
Councillor Badesha?
Yeah.
Councillor Dillon?
Here.
Councillor Katara? Councillor Jamaldine? Councillor McVeigh? Councillor Syed?
Here.
I am here. General Manager is not. And we will start off with speaker's business. Not too much today. One thing I will point the council's attention to is the council scholarship. In standing orders, there is two scholarships that are awarded to counselors every trimester, and they're awarded by your peers. So every trimester, you can nominate individuals that you believe have done an exemplary job as counselors, and there are two $500 prizes for those individuals every trimester. Those nominations normally take place in the second last meeting of the trimester. Because this is the first everyone's hearing of it, I'm giving you notification to nominate at the next meeting, and then we will do the announcement of the winners in the meeting after that. So please keep in mind over the next few weeks at your committees, and just top of mind, if anyone's doing a really great job, or you see them putting a lot of heart into the work that they're doing here, to nominate them for a counselor scholarship. And if you want to see the details of that, it's within council standing orders, appendix number 3, council scholarship. And that's everything I have for speaker's business. We don't have anything being special order in the late editions, because late editions is just reports this week. With that, we'll close speaker's business and move into presentations. We have one presentation, item 2A. Title is EDI presentation, presented by, do we have our presenters here? Sounds great. Jenna, can you say your name properly for us? Nice to meet you, Jenna. We have Jenna here, our Student Governance Officer with Discover Governance, the Students Union, and Rebecca Taylor, Manager, Discover Governance, the Students Union. And I'll read out the abstract. Equity, diversity, and inclusion training is an essential component of creating a safe, healthy environment both within council and on its greater university campus. The awareness of EDI encourages individuals to become more aware of their actions and how they impact others, as well as to question implicit biases and reduce systemic barriers which would otherwise prevent participation by members within council and externally on the greater campus community. Equity, diversity, and inclusion are essential to creating an environment which values and respects individual differences across varying dimensions and intersections, and an environment which fosters collaboration amongst members. Bhatnagar moves to allow the EDI presentation. Can I get a seconder? Vice President Brown, is there any opposition to hearing this presentation? Seeing none, the floor is yours. And just for your information, you have 15 minutes, including question and answer for the first section. And if you'd like to have more time, then we can allow more time afterwards.
Important in organizations.
empower others to be the best version of themselves and to feel comfortable around others and therefore performs the best of their ability. As well, the diversity of people means that you have a lot more diverse perspectives, which can make your organization stronger. So yeah, I guess we'll go through just the three different words within EDI. So the first one is equity, which is the acknowledgement of advantages and barriers people have that are out of their control, and the process is intended to address that inequality. So I really like this picture because I think it shows really well the difference between equality and equity. A lot of the time people can get those mixed up. So equality is where you have different people and you give them the same resources and they all end up like using the same resources. However, they're still at different levels within, in this case, is like watching this baseball game. However, equity is when you have different people, you recognize their different privileges and different backgrounds, and you give them resources based on those different privileges and different backgrounds to get them to the same level. The next one is diversity, which is the presence of differences amongst members of an organization or collective, particularly differences in identities. I also really like this meme, it's very cute, very adorable. I think nowadays we celebrate difference a lot, and it's very easy to just talk a lot about difference and how much we love it. But it's when we put it into action, it can still be really easy to judge others based on their differences due to our own implicit biases. So everyone has these biases, and it's okay to have them. It's not like you don't necessarily need to defend yourself against them. Everyone has biases. However, it is the lack of action we take against these biases that is not okay. So it's just important to, you know, be aware of our internal biases and actively try to alleviate or prevent them from influencing our actions. Just like check yourself and make sure that your own biases isn't influencing and hurting other people around you. The last one is inclusion, which is a feeling of being welcomed and valued within the organization, particularly for those identities that are most often marginalized or excluded. So inclusion and diversity tie well together, as shown in this picture. Diversity is the difference of the puzzle pieces, and inclusion is putting them together. However, even though it shows that diversity and inclusion is linked, equity would be the fact the equal opportunity of each of these puzzle pieces to be in the puzzle itself. So they all tie together, and they all are equally as important to be used all together. Yeah. So now that I have talked about these three different definitions, we're just going to go into some ways that you can improve EDI in your presentation. Like I said before, it's important to reduce barriers to entry, participation, and advancement. So the following are practical solutions that can help you improve EDI in any organization, but in this case, we're talking about the Students' Union because we're at a Students' Union meeting. Just like improving them at each of these levels of involvement. So the first one is understanding the issue, just like figuring out where your organization stands on your equity, diversity, and inclusion, how you can improve it, who's being hurt right now, is anyone being left out, and how do your processes and culture within your organization contribute to affecting your officers and volunteers. It's also really important, I think this one is really, it's not something we think about a lot, but who typically is moving up the ranks, who has the positions of authority, why do they have those positions, and how can we ensure that we are practicing equity, diversity, and inclusion when appointing those positions, or electing, or, you know. The second one is recruitment, which is encouraging diverse candidates, avoiding unintentional biases, and appointing volunteers, and creating new volunteer council or executive positions for these people that are often marginalized or put on the side. So removing potential biases in recruitment techniques can look like a lot of different things. This can look like doing, you know, blind applications. It can look like having a quota. I know a lot of us watch Hasan Minhaj, Patriot Act. I personally watch him a lot. But he had this episode about affirmative action, which is actually really interesting because it's very test. I know you're nodding your head, Kimchi, you know. But yeah, it's really interesting because it's very contested. But just thinking about the different ways you can promote diversity within your organization, just like do whatever works for you. Also, it can look like encouraging diverse candidates through making it known you would like to recruit people for a certain position. A lot of times people just need that extra push to apply and just like be confident in their ability to be in that position. And that's also really important because when you create new positions that target diverse individuals, which is also a really great way to recruit diverse question. And you can, I would feel more confident because I would feel like I can use my experiences being marginalized as a female in this organization. And, you know, I'd be passionate about improving it. So, yeah. The next one is language. So the words you use are really, really important. I think this one's really difficult because a lot of times we just talk and we don't really think about what we're saying. But a lot of the time we ourselves can promote microaggressions through just our general verbal activity. So avoid using slurs in dehumanizing language. And again, this can be really difficult because often we don't really know what it is, or it's so normal to us that we don't check ourselves as often. Debating ideas, not people. Avoid devaluing the input of others. This one's not only important in checking yourself necessarily, but it's also really important in checking the people around you and the language that they use, which kind of goes into the next one, which is behavior. I think this is a really good example just like of different microaggressions that we can perpetuate. It's just a cool picture if you want to take a look at it. But yeah, sorry, the next one is behavior. And I think this one, in my opinion, is one of the most important ones. So take care to value all voices at the table. Avoid interrupting, talking over others, or ignoring others, and giving credit to other ideas. Your behavior is not necessarily something you do actively. We don't often think about it. But it can even look like, you know, having side conversations while other people are talking, which is something that I'm really bad at. I'm really trying to improve on that. I will admit that myself. Or going on your phone during a meeting, or just like not paying attention. And this is especially hard, I think, in council meetings because, you know, they're long. You've just done a whole day of school and now you're here, and it's really, really easy to get distracted and want to, you know, talk to your friends on council if you don't see them a lot of the time. But it's really important to practice that active listening in the meeting because it can have a huge effect on how others respond to what you say and also how others respond to what other people say. You know, if someone's talking and everyone else is having a side conversation, no one's going to be paying attention to what that person is saying. It's just like it's an effect that just ripples throughout the group. For example, Joel, what's something that you did this weekend that was really fun? Like, just say like a story of a week this weekend.
Me and my brothers tried to go camping and almost got attacked by a cougar. Well, we thought it was a cougar. It might have been like a raccoon or something.
What? Yeah, so in that, I did hear what you were saying. But did I really look like I was listening to you?
No, I felt very, that was pretty rude.
Yeah, and did it make you want to stop your story early? Because I was like, yeah.
It looked like you didn't really care about my experience.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. I do care about your experiences, I promise. even just like looking away or not looking super interested in one-on-one conversations and in a group conversation can be really difficult and really lower confidence of people around you. So being present, I think, is another really important aspect of behavior. I think it's really easy. You know, we're all very busy. We all have a lot of things happening in our mind. And a lot of the time, a lot of the time we can not really be present physically and mentally in these meetings because, you're thinking about, your homework assignment or that thing that you have to do that you'll have to do later today, or just like running, the weather, but something like that. So it's really important to be present so that you can fully engage and fully be actively listening within the conversation. is wrong, and I don't agree with you, and this is why. However, that is not the greatest, especially among your peers, because it can make people feel ashamed or embarrassed of what they said, and it can discourage them from asking questions and wanting to educate themselves. So calling in is the act of checking your peers or those you know and getting them to change their problematic behavior through compassion and patience. And it allows people to heal and to want to learn and want to grow, which is the kind of atmosphere that I think all of us are trying to perpetuate. So there is a place for calling in and calling out, and it's our responsibility to know when to use each one. And then also being a powerful voice alongside marginalized voices and helping amplify those voices. So it is important to acknowledge that you have disparate experiences from others, because we're all very, very different and very individual, no matter how many similarities you have. So this is my example, it's a very base level example, but like Amber and I, you know, we both identify as female, we both have similar religious backgrounds, and we both are women of color. And so I could say, you know, in that sense, we share a lot of similarities. However, this does not entitle me to owning any of Amber's experiences, because again, we're very different people, even though we have those similarities, and we have very different experiences in our lives. So for example, if Amber's like, hey, like, you know, Jenna, like today, someone said something really racist to me, and if I have never experienced racism in my life, that does not mean that I can say, you know, Amber, I've never experienced racism, so obviously your racist, what you've experienced in terms of racism is probably not true, like, it's probably pretty fake. That does not entitle me saying that at all. If Amber experiences racism, instead of telling her that, oh, like, your experience is devalued now because I've also never experienced that, and we're both pretty much the same people, that devalues her experience. Instead, I should amplify her voice, give her the space to speak, because even though I've never experienced racism, I can't necessarily speak about that specifically, but I can give Amber the space to speak and to educate others. Amber's like very embarrassed, she's like, oh, cool. But yeah, I can give her, I can give her the space to share that experience and to educate others. And the last one is mentorship. Oh, sorry, this is just a good quote from AOC, it is not my position to tell people how to feel or that their hurt is invalid, but incidents like this do beg the question, where are resolutions against homophobic statements for anti-blackness, for xenophobia, for members saying he'll send Obama home to Kenya? In this administration and all others, we should actively check anti-Semitism, anti-blackness, homophobia, racism, and all other forms of bigotry. And the most productive angle is when we see it is to educate and heal. It's the difference between calling in before calling out.
Before you keep going, Jenna, we're almost at time here, so I'll just extend the presentation for you.
Oh, cool.
How much time do you think you'll need?
Like probably 2 more minutes.
Just a couple
I'm
more.
Almost done, yeah.
People might have questions, so I'll go ahead and look for 2/3 majority, 10 minutes extension. Yeah, good to go.
Thanks. Sorry, I talk a lot.
No worries.
Cool. The last one is mentorship. So this is actively mentoring underrepresented identities to help them advance the organization. Representation is really important. I like to use a story. I don't know how many of you have seen Avatar: The Last Airbender, but Katara is brown. Like, that's her skin color. I remember when I was little, I was always like, oh, like, I want to be like Cinderella, like, you know, like. But then I saw Katara, and I was like, you know, I like love myself so much more because I really resonate with Katara. I like just like from the mere fact that her skin color was brown. It really changed a lot of things for me. So representation is important, no matter what you think. However, representation being important, it's really difficult to find different representations in positions of authority, especially. And I know I worked on a project earlier this year, and we were making a movie, and we were looking for, you know, women in power in the university who were like professors, who are also women of color, and we literally could find one in the poli sci department. It was like insane. I think it was poli sci. It might have been a different one. Don't quote me on that. But it was like, it was just insane how much of a lack of representation we could find in authority. So through mentoring those who are underrepresented, even if we ourselves can't necessarily relate too much with them, you give confidence to others to apply for these positions and to want to move up in their workplace. And it increases the representation of positions of authority, which also therefore cycles back and increases the amount of people and empowers people to apply those
counselors are not present today? Do you know how many people are not here?
I can. Can I answer that? Can I answer that outside of the time for presentation?
Okay, my question to you is, if there are counselors who aren't here today, would you be open to giving this presentation to them at a different time? Because I feel like this is something I wish the entire board was here to see. Like, a lot of the experiences and a lot of the things that you said are like really important and representative roles, and I've experienced them, and I think a lot of people in the room would agree that they may have experienced it in different forms. And so I'm curious if your office would be open to meeting more one-on-one with counselors who haven't, who weren't here today to have this presentation.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. I don't really do much in my life, honestly. I can't feel like I agree. I'm very used to that.
About 10.
So I will connect those 10 with you.
Yeah.
Union right now, and how we reduce the system barrier?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. Yeah, I mean, I feel like other people can also probably answer for that. I think my personal, like, systemic barrier that I see the most is, like, women in power. I think STRIDE is doing a lot to address that, or, like, women and non-binary people, just because I think, you know, even I don't want to, you know, call anyone out, but low-key, like, even if you look at the executive, like, a lot of men ran this year. There were only two women who actually ran for positions, executive positions this year. And I think even that fact that only two women ran just goes to show that women may not feel as confident in running for those positions. So I think that's even just, like, confidence or, like, feeling empowered to run for those positions would be an example of, like, a systemic barrier. But yeah, I mean, I've only been working for Students Union since May, so I obviously will probably find out more. I don't know, does anyone else have anything to share? What sort of theories do you think? Yeah. Oh yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, just in terms of a systemic barrier, was the question, right? Like examples of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the question.
Yeah.
I would, at least one that I have seen thus far, and I think I've said it a few times, but would be like Indigenous students in representative roles. There has never been an Indigenous member of the executive committee. The most Indigenous counselors we ever had in 1 year so far is 3. So, and I know that the Student Union is working on improving that, which is really good, but that's a barrier. And the way that the Student Union is going about it is kind of how you would address that.
For other barriers, we don't have a like a super really good understanding of them yet, but we are researching it right now so we can get a better idea.
also have your PA staff. So, but yeah, if you're interested, definitely like give me an email. And I can provide this to you.
I'm not seeing any more questions, but thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close item two, presentations, and move into item three, executive committee report. And just for everyone's information today, as we're moving through reports and board and committee business and all that, we're going to be going old school because we don't have any voting system here. So if you want to make a report or if you want to make a point or anything like that, throw your placard up. If we have a point where you're doing a speaker's list, put your placard up, and once I make eye contact with you and give you a little nod or something, I'll add you to the speaker's list. With that, would any members of the executive committee like to make a report? All right, Vice President Brown.
All right, thanks, Mr. Speaker. Hello, everybody. I didn't have too much to report on because I was on vacation last week, but I'm very glad to be back. It's going to be a very busy August for me, just so everybody is aware. I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. We go to Lethbridge tomorrow morning for a Cause Counterparts conference. That's 3 days. And then next week, I go to Calgary, and then Vancouver, and then Ottawa, and then Montreal, and then Edmonton, all within the span of a week and a half. So if you need to get a hold of me over the next few weeks, please message or email me, because I will not be in the office for most of the next couple weeks. Other than that, I don't have anything else to add from my written report.
Thank you. VP Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last couple weeks have been pretty busy dealing with event organization and planning for a residence event, as well as the sexual violence prevention coordinator, making some leeway there, working with the Office of Human Resource and Safe Disclosure, as well as meeting with various other members in the Office of Student Conduct. We finalized our emergency response plans in residence and worked a lot with resident services on that so that all of the residence associations are equipped with the emergency response plans and had their say in how to organize that. And tomorrow we leave for the Council of Alberta University Students Conference, so looking forward to that. And just like Adam, I am all over, I guess, Western Canada for the rest of the month, so I'll be in Vancouver, Kelowna, and out through Northern BC, but I'll still have full contact on email if you need to reach me, but thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Agrawal.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to, first off, apologize for the late ads. I was away on vacation last week and just slipped my mind, trying not to make that happen again. It's been a lot of catch-up. I was away, a lot of emails to catch up on. So I'm trying to, if you sent me an email and I haven't responded yet, it's in the process. I will try to get that done as soon as possible. There is a potential for funding for the research event that is happening in November. So the university has shown interest in the, the university has shown interest in the Vice President Research Office, so that's very exciting. I'm very excited for that. We have a bunch of cool volunteers going to be in the room here, so it's going really well. B-Book Smart, the date has been set for September 13th. If any of you in this room are interested, please let me know. I need volunteers to help out with setup and things like that. So just send me an email or talk to me afterwards. Looks like Councillor Draper is interested. Other than that, COFA meetings, it seems like we're going to be doing some professional development for the future meetings. Like Adam, Vice President Brown said earlier, I will also be at the Cause Counterparts conference. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning, so please get a hold of me if you need anything urgently in the next few days.
Thank you. Vice President Stapp.
So apologies that I'm not here, but I think you will still be well. I don't need them. So over the last week, we had a really great introductory meeting to the sub-council plan task force. It was more about the history of the building and the programs and the future meetings. We'll be talking about what to do with that program moving forward, as well as the tour of the building. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hearing the council and some of the students at large and their opinions about it. I've been helping plan this conference we're all going to over the last couple weeks and
Thank you. President Banninger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will not be attending the Council of University of Alberta conference that the other attendees are going to, for I am going on a family reunion hosted at my house. So that will be exciting. Excited for that to end for sure. A couple of things to add to my written report. I don't know if folks have ever picked up the UASU handbook before, but we have completely revamped the way that it looks to match more aligned with the exact goal of sort of connecting students better to the Students' Union. I'm not going to be dramatic and say that it's the best thing that we've done all year, but I honestly think it's the best thing we've done all year. It is beautiful. It has a lot of changes in it. The language is completely different. And we're really trying, like, very actively to talk in a less institutional sort of voice in a way that truly connects with students. So I'm really excited for that to come out. As soon as we have our first run, I'll bring some copies to council so you folks can check them out. Another thing I was working on this past couple weeks has been the Charter of Student Rights and figuring out sort of an action plan of what that looks like going forward. We're in the stages right now where we have a lot of the preliminary research finished, but we're just finding a way that we can bring that research to the actual table to start drafting something. So I will be bringing it to council for early consultation, hopefully in the next couple months or so. I would say by the end of at least the fall semester. Last week, I also attended the CASA E plenary because our Vice President External is the chair. I have to be the primary delegate for UASU, so I have to do some work federally, which is fine. We talked a lot about, as you can see in his report, about things like the member sponsorship program and about where we are going to be hosting our policy strategy conference. And lastly, we've heard a lot of concerns in the past couple of years about council administration and the way that it's been working specifically in terms of agendas, minutes, and things like that. So we've heard those concerns, and we've made some changes internally at the SU, and we've actually moved council administration downstairs into 2900, into the 2900 offices. And so we'll see that change happening effective August 1st. So over the next couple of months, we'll be checking in again internally to see how that change has been going. And then if council has any feedback on that, I'd love to hear. And lastly, next Tuesday will be the last day I will be in office until August 19th. I'm also traveling to places like Vancouver and BC for work and for personal vacation. So if you need me, I will be very active via Facebook Messenger or email. So please just be patient with responses, but thank you.
Thank you, President Banninger. Concludes Executive Committee report. We'll move into board and committee reports, starting with Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Would a member like to make a report?
Yes. So the next meeting of the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee is on August 6th. At this meeting, we will be discussing the continued postponement of the Indigenous Sponsorship Program by the Canadian Alliance of Students Associations and possible responses. Also, we will continue to discuss the official launch event of the ARC recommendations. So, show up, everybody.
Thank you. Audit Committee, go ahead.
Thank you. So our last meeting was last week, and we were able to approve a lot of audits for many associations. So the ones we approved were Augustana full year, Campus Saint-Jean fall, Hales full year, Science full year, and winter term for business. We still have a couple more associations that we're still finishing up. And our next meeting will be next Tuesday.
Thank you. And we'll move to Bylaw Committee. Go ahead.
Yo, well, bylaws have been so much fun. So I know I'm a broke record with that, but we've been really good. Our last meeting, we had a great presentation from the GM, and he talked all about like balloting and like possible changes to how our ballots work. And it was actually really, really interesting. There was like a lot of research about like how far people read through their ballots before they actually drop off, what ways we can change our ballots and how they look so that more people actually vote for the entire election, possibly changing how long the questions for like referendum websites are so that actually people actually read through them and are more like to vote. It was super cool. I got like a lot of things to read out of it, and I love reading about things, so I'm happy about that. Other than that, I did attempt to bring forward the first principles of two different things today, and as I was informed at CAP, I did that very poorly, but changes have been made, and things should be coming, so I'm happy to probably have the first principles for some changes to bylaw 1500 and 2500 to align with a few things that have changed prior to this, so just make sure that our bylaws actually represent what the SU does. Other than that, if you have any questions, come talk to me. I'm going to be out of the country from Thursday to Monday, because I'm going to be in New Orleans. And I'm very, very excited about that. So talk to me after Monday. Our next meeting is Wednesday the 7th, by the way. So y'all should come, it's fun.
Thank you. Council administration meeting. Go ahead.
So we actually got a really big cap meeting today. As I'm sure everyone's noticed, jackets are here. They're that pile of jackets. If you haven't already, please find your size. And remember it, I'll be posting a Google form in the group in like a second, so everyone can record their size, name, and position. StormTech has a distinction between men and women's sizes. Clothes don't have genders, but they are different fits, so please make sure that you remember that as well when like choosing sizing and stuff. And if you have any questions or comments or anything, please let me know. In particular, the document, if I like misspelled your position, don't just live with that for a year on your jacket. Please let me know. And also, if you sign up for a jacket, please consider that like a commitment to pick it up. In past years, we've had problems where people sign up for jackets and then don't pick them up. That's just not a very effective use of CAC's money or council's money as a whole. And so if you do sign up for it, please wear it and get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Other CAC updates, the catering for council is now all officially vegetarian from now until the rest of the year. So that's come into effect. We also canceled the next, we canceled the next council meeting, August 13th. So please don't attend that. We changed standing orders 9 and 10 as well, so that we receive written reports from the executives once a month, as opposed to bi-weekly. This doesn't change oral reports for the executives. Chairs will do it on the council meetings that executives don't produce written reports. We also motioned to direct the minute taker to record the questions and answers from open forum and question discussion period. And finally, we're beginning work on a task force on structural representation. So if you have any questions or comments about that, please feel free to talk to me or any member of CAC, because we'll be working a lot on that in the future. As always, if you have any questions on any of these, please let me know. CAC will meet in 2 weeks' time, even though council will be canceled. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. The executive committee. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Executive committee has met twice since the last time. We've been really busy, as you can all see. We've implemented monthly check-ins for the ARC recommendations, just so that the executive committee is aware of what other executives are doing in terms of progress on the recommendations, but also for a consistent update and, I guess, check-in on where the goals are going as a whole. The only other thing we discussed is talking about our executive goals reporting. So we are going to be publishing a trimester report at the end of summer before we can welcome to update public on where we are with our goals document. We will be doing the same at the end of the fall semester and at the end of the winter semester. And the other thing we've discussed a lot is the implementation of the executive benefits, so specifically healthcare. I'm very excited to have coverage for the first time in a very long time, but we're just figuring out the details of how we can implement the benefits that council approved. And so once we figure out the logistics this year, it'll be easier to onboard incoming executives in the future. We will not be meeting until August 20th, I believe, because we're all out of town for a long time. So if you do have any questions, please feel free to let me know. And I believe our minutes and agendas are updated on the website.
Thank you. Finance Committee?
Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting. We probably won't meet until the end of August, since Finance Committee actually currently doesn't really have to do with its time. So I don't know what is council's time, but we're just keeping off on that. So likely we'll meet sometime at the end of August.
Thank you. Nominating Committee?
Nominating Committee don't meet in last 2 weeks. Next meeting will meet when necessary.
Thank you. Policy Committee?
Policy Committee has not met. We will meet next Tuesday, and then have much more interesting information.
Thank you. Student Group Committee.
Has not met, but now that we are up to full capacity, we will meet soon.
Sounds good. Translation Committee?
Translation Committee has not met. It's the last council meeting. We're going to meet tomorrow. Please, if you do not make us, let me know. Have a better situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Make quorum. People show up. I'll now open, I'll go to item 5, open forum.
Mr. Speaker.
My bad. Board. Would you like?
Can I add something to my executive committee report?
No. Okay, good. Board of Governors?
So, anyways, seriously, now through my actual report, in next Tuesday, I'm going to be at a reception with the Board of Governors and Demetrios Nikolaidis, who's the Minister of Advanced Education. So that'll be really interesting to see him and hopefully have a chance to talk about a couple of things. Also, the board received a letter from Minister Nikolaidis outlining the steps that they want for the U of A's free speech policy. So basically, we have to pass a motion at the Board of Governors endorsing the Chicago principles and then write our own policy, which will be more like operational and will govern how it works, which is in line with Chicago principles and approve that. So if you have any thoughts of what you think should be in that, please talk to me about it. There's a few other things, but they are in my written report. So I'll...
Thank you. Apologies for missing you again. Trauma best not. With that, we'll go to item 5, open forum. And I'll open the first 15 minutes of open forum starting now. Mr. Booster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I will direct this one to Governor Lee. With regards to Kiano becoming the first president institution in Canada in Alberta to recognize the Chicago principles, so I just want to clarify. So the U of A has to accept the Chicago principles. We can't make ones that are similar but like more in the needs of our institution. There's no choice not to accept.
Yeah, no. So we do get to write our own policy. Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead. You're good.
So we do have to write our own policy. The policy, though, has to be compatible with the Chicago principles in every way. So there can't be anything in there that contradicts anything in the Chicago principles. But we can put additional like clarifications and things in that policy, or like details about how that policy will be enforceable, things like that. So that's where we have some leeway in. And then we also do just have to pass a resolution approving the Chicago principles like from the University of Chicago. So there's really not a lot of flexibility, unfortunately.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead.
VP Akhnaq Agarwal is the primary delegate for the Free Expression Advisory Committee in the university. So in the future, if you have any questions about it, you can probably direct them to VP Agarwal as well.
Sure. Thank you. Any further questions? Yes, Mr. Booster, with your second question.
Just to follow up to the last one, I will direct this one to VP Agarwal. Will the university receive penalties if we don't accept the Chicago principles, and if so, what are those penalties?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for the question. I think right now we're under very tight deadlines to get these policies or statements out. We've had 3 meetings. Today was the 3rd meeting, and we're kind of working out what those are. So I can't really give you a hard answer right now, but there's a very thorough consultation process. I just received an email just a couple hours ago regarding consultation with the Students' Union, their consultant GSA, and like scores of other academic, non-academic staff all across campus. So we're taking that very seriously.
You didn't address my question. I asked specifically with regards to counties if we don't accept the Chicago principles.
Well, like I said, we don't have any stance on that right now. We're drafting the terms of reference for this committee.
So to clarify, this is not
out of order here, no back and forth. We'll keep this to simple questions and answer. Do you have another question?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead with your third and last.
So to clarify, there is nothing from the government stating there will be penalties against post-secondary institutions if they don't accept Chicago principles at this moment?
Currently, there are no penalties that the government has imposed. So we're working with what we have received from the government so far.
Thank you. And Mr. Klister, that is your third and final verbal question for the forum. Any other questions for open forum?
Gideon is here. Oh, wait, where did I miss them? Oh, sorry.
Any questions there? Okay. With that, we'll close open forum and we'll open the first 15 minutes of question period, starting with Councillor Sunday. Please go ahead.
My question is to the Bylaw Committee Chair. Considering that Bylaw 100 Schedule B is so old that the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee is listed as an ad hoc committee, and that Bylaw 100 has been substantially changed, what is the committee's timeline to review and amend Schedule B?
Mr. Draper?
Give me 1 second to go grab it. We did have a schedule written for Bylaw Committee. We're planning on going through and updating all of our Bylaw Committee so that they are up to date. Off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly when the 100 schedule B was going to go over, but I believe that should be happening somewhat pretty soon, since surrounding committees and that kind of stuff is one of the more pertinent things. So I'm thinking that should probably be happening decently soon comparatively to a lot of other things. So it should probably, that should be on your radar soon. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
For the question?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for President Ellinger. So you discussed in your written report that you've been doing stuff on the student rights and you're going to bring it to us for early consultation. Can you speak as to what other consultations will be doing this week?
President Ellinger?
Mr. Speaker, so for other consultative bodies that I want to be going to for the charter, a lot of them right now are going to be university stakeholders until students are back on campus. So what this looks like is the president of the University of Alberta, the provost of the University of Alberta, who deals like specifically with the academic staff. General Faculty's Council will be pretty big. The vice provost for programs and the vice provost for learning initiatives. And then specifically the General Faculty's Council committees I'll be coming to are the Committee on the Learning Environment, the Academic Standards Committee, Subcommittee on Standards, and the Council of Student Affairs. So far that's been my plan, but I'm also meeting one-on-one with a lot of stakeholders who are interested in the topic of rights, aka our lawyer, or the Office of Human Rights of Office of Human Rights and Safe Disclosures, and the Code of Student Behavior folks. So Dean of Students is another office. But we're doing a really robust roundtable with a lot of people just to make sure that we have all of our eggs in the right basket, because I don't want this to be a combative sort of charter that comes forward at GFC. I want it to be really collaborative and supported by all bodies on campus, so including students, faculty, and staff.
Thank you. Any other questions? I believe Councilor Sunday has his hand up first, and we'll move forward with you after. Councilor Sunday?
My question is to the Vice President of Operations and Finance. At one of its meetings last month, the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee approved a budget. Has the money requested by ARC been set aside for the committee's exclusive use?
Vice President Stapp?
Thanks for the question. We're in the process of beginning that right away, actually, right now. We also want to make sure that there's money available for the other discussion that came up in the committee of the chairs, possibly increasing the budget for all other committees as well, accessible through CAP. But as the discussion of the committee of the chairs looked very favorable towards the ARC recommendation for ARC to have its own budget, it's certainly something to start the process on.
Thank you. Councilor Draper?
I also have a question for the Vice President of Operations Finance. So as you are aware, I am a person who is very passionate about a campus bar called Dewey's. And my question is with the proposed, with the updated Dewey's menu, there's the facelift, all that fun stuff happened there. Are you changing around with how many beers you have on tap? How much of the actual the drink side of Dewey's being updated, or is it just more so the food?
Thank you, Councilor Draper. Vice President Stapp.
It's a bit of both. There's going to be some changes to the cocktails last year, then some changes to the way we actually order, the process of order. Ooh. And those are all things that people that sit up the bar advisory committee will be able to see very shortly. Actually, to that end, the first meeting that ad hoc bar advisory committee will be next week, at which point those of you that sit on it do get to see those venues and start to impact those processes. And
thank you. Any other questions for question period? Councilor Barker-Salva?
First, can I direct my questions to two people?
Preferably just one.
Okay, perfect. I'll just do two. My first question is to VP Agarwal. With the change in the amount of times that we're submitting our reports, how are you going to make sure that you get reports in before the deadline?
Vice President Agarwal?
Thanks for the question. Which is why I did apologize in my report. I was on vacation and I was trying to kind of get away from work, and I will definitely get them. This won't happen again. This was an off thing, so thanks for the question.
Thank you. And Councilor Marisola?
Same question for me. I do apologize again for last week. Things came up rather last minute, but in future, my phone now vibrates to remind me to write and hand in my council report. So, I have reminders.
Thank you. Any other questions for question period? Going once, going twice, closed. Closed question period there. Move to board and committee business. So under board and committee business, item 7, board and committee business, Councilor Draper alluded to it during his report, but so what will be happening here is I am going to be striking item 7A and 7B as out of order. Within council standing orders, there's a specific stipulation and order of how bylaws are brought forward to council, and that being that there is a first principle in which the guiding principles of the bylaw changes will be voted on by council, and then second principles will come at the next meeting in the next meeting afterwards. The idea being that council has the opportunity to vote on the idea behind the changes first, so that everyone agrees that this is the change that we want to see in bylaw, and then the meeting afterwards, council will vote on the exact wording that is put into bylaw. So I talked to Councilor Draper beforehand, and he has prepared first principles for both of these items, which he is ready to. Sorry?
I just sent them.
Okay, which have been sent out to the council. People receive them? I'll wait to see if people did. Okay, they've been received? All right, so they've been sent out. So I'm going to accept those two other things as items 7C and 7D. And 7C will be first principles of bylaw of Bill 1 and the amendments to bylaw 1500. And item 7D will be Bill 2, amendments to bylaw 2500. Is that clear to everyone how we're going through here? A little bit of a Robert's Rules governance runaround, but that's how it goes around here. So with that then, we'll move to the first item, which will technically be item 7C. Draper moves on behalf of bylaw committee to approve the first principles of Bill 1, amendments to bylaw 1500. I'll look for a seconder. Councilor Bowes. with that, we'll go into Councilor Draper. Would you like to introduce your motion?
Sure.
Go ahead.
So, as the first principle state, this is mostly just bringing changes to dive board to allow reference questions, which was one of the proposed changes from the ARC recommendations. So basically, this allows dive board to give an opinion on like proposed things the SU was doing, as things that they are already doing, about whether or not it's actually within the scope of the SU, whether or not it's violating any bylaws, and they're allowed to provide this without having to have a formal complaint or case brought to dive board. So it gives them a bit more freedom in allowing that, and this is just to bring it in line with our recommendations. Yeah.
Thank you, Councilor Draper. With the introduction, I'll now open the floor to debate on item 7C. Is there any debate on item 7C? Councilor Sunday, go ahead.
Can I propose an amendment?
Sure, go ahead, and then it'll be up to Councilor Draper if he sees it's friendly.
So my amendment would be to add that. The board shall be allowed to provide impartial advice upon request to student council on actions, decisions, and post legislation that it seeks to undertake.
Go ahead.
I think we're just discussing the first principles. Are you proposing a change to first principles?
Yes.
That was direct wording. Where is that?
I had just said it. I had written it down. I thought we were going to be going over the full bylaw.
No worries. Yeah, so, yes. So today we'll just be doing first principles.
Because my only thing is that first principles does not cover the amendment that I would like to make.
So then the appropriate place to make that amendment would likely be to bring to the next bylaw committee in which they craft the second principles, or at the council meeting in which we do the second principles.
Because my question is that if we do the second principle, then something's added, that is it reflected in the first principles? Does that mean it cannot be added? Because it wasn't in the first.
I haven't reviewed the new first principle, so I'm unaware if your amendment is reflected as they already. Because the answer to your question would be, if the first principles are here and your amendment is held within that box, then we're good to go just on the first principles that are there. But if it's outside of that box, then we'll need to make an amendment. I'm unaware. I haven't reviewed it. Through that, any other debate? Vice President Brown?
I was just wondering when Councilor Draper is
okay.
relationship. Just wondering if Councillor Draper could provide an example of a situation in which this sort of proposed mechanism would be used as opposed to a dive board ruling, just to provide some more context.
Councillor Sophie just very slightly said he has an example, so I think I might give that to him, because this is actually as recommended by the chair of
I'm happy to redirect.
Go ahead.
So the idea from this, the specific recommendation, was around a dive board hearing that occurred, in which it did not have to deal with legislation. It had to deal with the fact that at that time, it was the ad hoc committee was told that it would be allowed to have student at large members on its committee, and then the bylaw committee had reversed that and said that we couldn't have student at larges on our committee. And we brought forward this to the dive board, but you know, even though it was clear that one thing was said, and maybe council or bylaw committee wasn't sticking with what they said or whatever, because they could only review legislation, I guess it didn't necessarily matter. Like the action that the bylaw committee had decided to undertake, because it wasn't. Dive board is very strict; that only deals with like bylaw and legislative interpretation, and doesn't deal with like action of the student union or student council.
Thank you.
Do we have a resolution to the amendment question?
Yes. So it seems, from my understanding, we'd just be adding. Just a little bit to 4A, where it says take on a scope of student union policies, and it would be adding and actions to that, just to add that little extra bit more of scope.
So to be clear, it would amend it to a reference question allows Dive Board the ability to provide opinions on the scope of students union policies, actions.
Actions, decisions, and events.
It's up to you, as you brought the motion forward. If you accept that as friendly, then we can move forward with it. If not, then we'll move to a separate motion to amend, and we can debate that.
It's, I think that keeps with the proposed, period of what we're trying to have here, so yeah.
Okay.
That is a very friendly.
We'll go with that as friendly. Any further debate on item 7C? Any questions what we just did there? I'm going to go over it just to be sure. So when an amendment is brought forward to a bill or a motion, that amendment can be viewed as friendly or non-friendly, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's an oppositional in nature. It just means that if amendment is friendly, it is not changing the degree of the intent of the motion in such a way that it can just be added in a way that still stays true to what it is. But if the amendment is so significant that it requires an additional discussion, then the original individual who moves it can say it's an unfriendly amendment, and we can go ahead and debate that separate from what the original motion was. Anyone want to add any more to that? Cool. I like to find the learning. I'm not seeing any more debate, so we're going to do the old-fashioned placards up voting. So I'll look for all in favor of 7C. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All right, 17. Any opposed? Any abstentions which should be noted? Passes 17-0-0. We'll now go to item 7D, Bill 2, Bylaw 2500 Update First Principles. So Draper moves on behalf of the Bylaw Committee to approve Bill 2, Bylaw 2500 First Update First Principles. I'll look for a seconder for this motion. Councilor Chen, would you like to introduce your motion?
I would. This was a motion that was, a suggestion that was brought to me by President Bettinger, and honestly, it's a solid thing that I'm pretty excited for, because it means some really cool stuff. Because there's changes that allow council to have veto power over mandatory non-instructional fees, which is actually really, really cool. And all this is doing is making our bylaws reflect the fact that we now have that power. And on a side note, I like that this is called Motion 7D, because even though it's a letter, it makes it sound like it's Motion 70, and I find that always fun.
Nice. Thank you for the introduction. I'm going to open the floor to debate on motion 7D. Any debate on motion 7D? Vice President Brown?
Just for the sake of having some discussion, I do think this is something that we do need to legitimize in our governing documents. Bill 19 gave some pretty unprecedented power to the Students' Union, specifically around, I think, and Councilor Draper alluded to this, mandatory non-instructional fee. So if the university wants to create a new mandatory non-instructional fee, if they want to modify an existing one, they have to get us to sign off on it, which is an incredible amount of power that we have not had before. The same thing applies to exceptional tuition increases as well. So this is pretty great stuff. Looking forward to get that in our governance.
Thank you. Any other debate on motion 7D? Councilor Sunday.
I guess it's more of a question. With the change in government, and as governments change, often the legislation of previous governments also changes. My question is to the Vice President External. Do you believe that the powers granted in Bill 19 will continue to be in place, or do you think that they'll be changed by the government?
Go ahead.
And that's a really great question that Councillor Sunday brings up. We haven't seen any indication from this new government that they would be looking to reverse some of these things. That their party, when they were in opposition, voted unanimously in favor of everything that was covered in Bill 19. So we're quite optimistic that it would look hypocritical, essentially, if they were to just sort of reverse course on anything that they had voted in favor of previously. So I certainly hope not. But at the end of the day, legislation is an ebbing and flowing document. So in the event that something were to change, we could simply revert our existing legislation back to what we had before. But great to bring that up.
Thank you. Any other debate on the motion at hand? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote then, and the old-fashioned placards up. Those in favor of the vote, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Is she in the bathroom? Someone leave down there? Okay, so 16. Any opposition?
Point of order?
Yep.
That's not quorum if 16 people voted.
Is it?
Yeah, quorum is 16.5. So we need to wait.
Did they leave or did they go to the washroom?
I think they just went.
They went to the washroom.
Their laptop.
Alright.
So there's only 16 of us?
No, there's 17, and 17 is exactly.
You're right.
Or point of parliamentary inquiry. I know with some legislative bodies, once quorum is established, even after quorum is established, if you go below quorum, the meeting is still allowed to continue. Is this, I can't remember if this body has that.
I don't know. I'd have to look.
The bodies of our DFU don't. I don't know if
from,
they give some light.
It is my professional opinion that we could wait a couple minutes.
Wait for it.
Yes.
So in the case that say that there were 17 people here right now, and only 16 people voted, and one person decided not to vote, does that make it the quorum?
No, because there's still people there, but there is just physically not 17 councilors in the room right now.
What if they abstain?
Yeah, I was going to say, what if they
abstain?
Is there anybody on
the
line?
The point is, there's not quorum in the room right now.
Would this not be considered an exception?
No. Because they have to, in order to abstain, you have to indicate it.
Let me.
No.
I will look what, if there's anything in standing orders on this.
Can I make a motion?
Go ahead.
Can I motion to suspend standing orders?
For what?
For porn.
Okay. I don't even know what it says in there yet.
I think he's coming back right now.
Why are we suspending standing?
Yeah, I don't think.
I know you, buddy. I don't know what you're going to say.
I was going to ask to formally change the name of the council jackets to the packets.
No.
I gotta go.
Impeachment is a real thing.
I'm going to see
from the executives, not counselors, if I'm correct.
From, like, reading past votes and proceedings, it's been the case that the meetings automatically ended when they lost quorum.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's what I saw in the past. I don't know if that's what it says.
I have a point of information for Vice President or for President Madigar.
Yeah.
Do you still oppose the term radio to describe Brett on the patio?
The official stance of the Students' Union, and I being the only individual who can say that, is that it is always going to be Route and Patio.
All right. Sounds good.
Luke didn't even hear that.
No, Luke
you
did
just
not.
You just said something spicy.
What's up? We'll call him after.
Yeah. No, wait, we talked about the
captain's side. Public meetings, Students' Council is the majority of his.
Don't look at me, man. I was like, I love it.
Is that the lady that put forward the motion described as cafe's
frivolous? Yeah. Frivolous, yes. Deems it as frivolous, it can't happen.
No, but it's the motion we were giving.
Okay.
Yay!
Yay! We have quorum!
Yay! When you left, we didn't have quorum, so we have to just.
Alright, we're voting again. Attention, everyone. Okay, apologies, we were not clapping for you coming back anymore. We were very happy for you to come back, but we weren't clapping for you coming back from whatever you were doing. Yeah, we just ran into a problem. It's all good, no way you could have known. All right, so on motion 7D, all those in favor, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All those opposed? Any abstentions wish to be noted? Seeing none, motion 7D passes. That was a lot. We have a tenant to go through and then adjourn.
Cool.
So.
Can I make a motion to get them closed?
In camera.
Real?
That, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we've already. I'm not even the secret, sorry.
I don't know. Okay, but
are you? Yeah.
If you want to.
Do you want to talk about this?
Well, I feel like we should talk about it.
If you would like to make a motion.
Okay, we'll make it quick. Can we go in close?
If you would like to move to go in camera, we absolutely can do that. So, boarding committee business has been concluded, and we'll move into general orders, in which we currently don't have any. But you do.
Then you can make a motion.
Yes, that is motion to go in camera.
All right, so Vice President Larson is moving to go in camera. Would you like to provide a short introduction of why? In as vague terms as possible?
No.
Okay.
I guess not.
Jeremy,
just
tell us. No, he doesn't have to.
We'll tell you when we're in camera.
All right. Let's quit this crosstalk. It's been a fun meeting, but enough. I'll look for a seconder. Vice President Brown, we'll go through, we'll motion to go in camera, non-debatable, non-amendable, two-thirds. Whoever, those in favor of going in camera, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Can't say it. Up high. 11. That's a quarter, two-thirds of 17. In my quick math. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Any abstentions wish to be noted? Seeing none, motion goes forward. We're now on camera. Folks already know what that means.